I'll tell Pastor Adam, he doesn't know this, but in our condo where we live in Ohio in the States, our community is called the G of Eden. And so I always say it's our, we're go back to the garden when we moved there. Yeah. When we moved there 7 years ago, I said, we back in the garden. And it's like hide and seek. Sometimes we're hide and seek between these nations. And we're really hiding when we're inside of China. And we are there every 2 months. Y'all keep praying for China and Hong Kong. So all your offerings, Terry, I'm a blessed woman because he still works his full-time job from the States. And they allow him to take that office with him wherever he goes to handle those accounts. And so your support goes to support us to the nations. The things you get back there are going to do that too. But yeah, pray for China. We're there every 2 months. We just completed our 30th mission before coming into Australia there. And it's just getting really tough. Even a Chinese pastor here that I talked to said that of all the Australian missionaries that he's in contact with, they already took their visas. And so they don't let them back in there. But I say, I echo him in knowing that Dutch Sheets imparted that to me some 15 years ago, that Isaiah 22:22, where he puts the key of David, and that's what I release to you, that key of David, that you open, that no man shuts, and you shut, and no man opens. And I was in the anointing, and the presence was here so strong. But let me just say again, those three things that this anointing that we imparted to y'all do, the first of all, it causes you to laugh at your fear. Secondly, it causes your gifts to profit you. And thirdly, you will dance in fields with your Father. And we all, as he said, beside those oak trees, we want to be playing. We want to be dancing because he's our Father. I think a good part of you were with this Wednesday night. Could I see your hand if he was with this Wednesday night? I'm by no means, time would not allow me to repeat what God said, but it was so powerful. It was so prophetic that we go from place to place so much that most of the time I in the flesh, I don't even know where I am. As Terry will tell you, I walk out in traffic many times, or I'll be driving a total different direction or in another place because we're in so many places. So I wasn't thinking about Australia that I'm here, you know, but the Holy Spirit began to unfold during worship that it was the eve of the anniversary of your Beersheba, that the Australian light horseman went in 102 years ago and was able to get. And so I said, do you know what Beersheba is? And that's in Genesis 26 where Isaac is digging wells and the enemy keeps stealing from him. But finally he gets to a well. He calls it the well of seven because God covenants with him. I brought the principles of how when we find our enemy, he has to get back sevenfold. And so we were at that well Wednesday night, and it's just powerful, and the pastors can teach more on it and expound more on it. But this morning, I kept hearing there's a song we do in the States called "We're Stirring Up Deep, Deep Water, Stirring Up Deep Wells." And I have to go back because on Thursday morning after our Wednesday night service, I woke up early and I had a vision. And my vision was that I seen a huge, huge something covering, you know, a big covering. And I seen many men. I would say at least 15 men, and I know they were men in here led by Pastor Adam, that it took all their strength to get this cover, this top off. And when they took it off, I seen a well, and I seen Kat at this well just like rejoicing so much because this was the purest, cleanest water, and it had to go down at least 20 feet. And I mean, it's just, she's splashing this water, and as she splashes it, I mean, healings are happening, miracles. And she's just releasing all of this water. But the Holy Spirit told me, and then that was Thursday morning, and then like through my day Thursday, sometime in the late afternoon, I see the same vision again. And so I wanted to release that right at the beginning to say that there are men, Pastor, that are going to join. It's not going to be easy. I'm going to tell you that. It's not going to be easy. And I love it because Kat wrote me Thursday morning and said when she got home, or maybe Wednesday night, that Pastor Adam actually said that his great uncle, was it, was part of that light horseman that defeated and won that battle for Israel. and for Beersheba. But Beersheba means literally the well of the oath, the well of seven. God could swear by no greater, so he swore by himself. He sevened himself. It would be me coming up, you know, to Adam saying, I seven myself to you, meaning I'm in covenant with you, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to restore everything that was taken. Because you read on that Isaac, after he found that well, he was blessed, he prospered, he became very prosperous and very prosperous. But I loved it because this morning the Holy Spirit, again in the midst of all this worship, he took me back to 2012. We were in Mudgee and we were going to come to the Blue Mountains. And that night, in the middle of the night, man, I met some spirits that, man, they had been, I'd seen in the mountains like this observance, and I'm like, you know, the Bible says, you know, to try the spirits. So when I try them, I know they're evil. They're not good. And so I share with Terry that next morning. He began to tell me about some of the history of the original settlers from Australia and some things. But anyway, I say all that to say, when I went, got up that morning in the middle of the night to pray, the Holy Spirit, you know, David said he anoints my head with oil, but I needed an oil that was smeared. Like Malachi says, that anointing that's going to break the yokes, that smearing so I can break like a calf let out of a stall, that sun arises with healing and wings. That word there, makesh, means it's like painting. So it's like to paint, like we would think of to paint something. But God says that anointing that I'm bringing up on you is like a painting. It's just going to smear from your head to the toe. And so that's what he did for you all, because there is an army that's rising up, and y'all are generals in God's army. Bless them and strengthen them. Yep, give the Lord a hand clap. Give honor where honor's due. You guys got some great generals leading you. Again, I don't know them after the flesh. I don't need to know them. I know by the Spirit, and my spirit witnesses with their spirit. So in keeping with the well thing, the Holy Spirit said, I want you to stay on it a little more. Because some were not there and some were. But he said, there are three places I'm going to take you to involve a well. Now, I know how the Holy Spirit is. Now, you know, I've not been to Bible college. I don't have my degree, right? Okay, so I don't have those things, but I know, I don't even know the word they, in the States, when you go to Bible college and they teach you how to teach a message, right? Well, so I'm not like that. I depend upon the Holy Spirit. People say, do I need the Holy Spirit to go to heaven? I say, I need him to get out of bed in the morning. I need him to speak through me every time I enter a pulpit. So my dependency upon him brings that, you know, supremacy of him. And so I don't have 3 points in a palm to end, you know. But what I do is I notice sometimes, it seems lately, and I think it's because of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, that it seems like there are sometimes prophetic messages come in three parts. And so he knew who would be here. Let me pause. I just sensed a spirit of rejection, not coming at me, but someone in this room that's battling rejection right now. It may be more than one. I'm sure it's more than one. From your womb, from the room, I don't know if there was trauma in the conception, if there was trauma in the womb. I don't know if there was trauma in your childhood, but it has put into your DNA a spirit of rejection. Now hear me, I don't exalt Satan, but I expose him. With this spirit of rejection, you don't feel worthy, you don't feel good enough, you don't feel that you'll ever make it, you're struggling. Maybe someone even spoke those words to you, but through the authority of Jesus Christ, I take the words of David in Psalm 139 that tells you, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I wrote a book about you. You had not yet lived one day. Not one day was fashioned and formed before you, but I wrote this book. Jeremiah goes on to say, and my plans towards you are to give you a future and a hope and an expected end. And so Father, right now I tear down every lie. I uproot that spirit of rejection from them. Man, woman, boy, and girl, it doesn't matter. There's no limits to the spirit right now. And I release Romans 8:15 that says you no longer will get in any kind of bondage, mentally, physically, or spiritually, because you have been adopted and you cry, Abba, Father. I release the spirit of adoption upon each person in here. I release it within this church. I release it within this ministry. I release it within Australia, the spirit of adoption, whereby they cry, Abba, and they can dance in the field with their father because he's their daddy, in Jesus' name. in Jesus' name. And so, yes, to God be the glory. But I want to look at this. And the first one he took me to was they're going to have to see the well. Now, I'm going to speak this. It's going to be different. It's going to be more prophetic. We will end up at God's table. I told Terry, get ready, because this is going to get activated in here, what he did on the cross. See, Jesus said, when you take communion, as often, right? You know that? Is that how y'all say it here in Australia? Jesus said, as often as you do it, remember me. So now in America, if we think of remember, we think, oh, I'm going to think back, bring mental assent to what Jesus said. No, 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 no. That word in Hebrew, I won't say the word in Hebrew because you will never understand it because of my Southern American accent. But when I say remember, in the Hebrew, that word means to bring full circle. It means what Jesus did at the cross gets activated in that moment. Okay, and so I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit here, but I'm excited up here. I mean, I could probably come and do a conference for 3 days and go from 24/7. It would not stop because the presence of God is here so strong. It could be like a filling station. People could just come all day and all night to get what they need. But I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but I just want to give you something. You know, it's like when you're looking at the dessert menu and you know, oh, after I eat, I'm eating that. At least he does. Anyway, I don't, but he does. And so when I want to show you the dessert menu right now, okay? We've had some, we call them appetizers. Y'all call them entrees. And then you have the full course. It's appetizer, then it's the full course, and then it's dessert, okay? And so this is showing you what the dessert's going to be. Because when we're back here praying, and Pastor Adam's, you know, just taking authority in the Spirit, and he's releasing God's word and God's presence here, the Holy Spirit showed me graveyards. Now, I don't know if y'all know the song. It's back from the 60s, but Molly Skaggs with Bethel does it now. And it says, there ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Y'all know it? Okay. And so I seen that sometimes the enemy seeks to bury us mentally, spiritually, and physically. But how many knows? Jesus said, you know, you're going to take this cup, and the same power that raised him is going to conquer that. And so I said, Terry, I know this is different. This is really different. I have never done this. But I sense during communion that you're going to bust open some graves in here. And so I told him, get ready to get on the drums because that's what's going to happen at the end. So who's staying for that part? Who's staying for dessert? Okay, good. Okay, y'all that don't, I'm sure you'll get enough food now to take you for a couple weeks or a couple hours, some of you. But anyway, let's go. Let's go to the Word of God now. Okay, so because he said some of you have to see the well. You're not even seeing it. Okay, now I want to go to a story in Genesis 29. I'm not going to lay out the whole story. You all know it probably. But what's happened is Abraham and Sarah, they did not want to wait for God's promise. So they create a work of the flesh. And they bring Hagar in and they have Ishmael. You all know that story? Okay, so now it gets to a place it gets bad, and Sarah sees that Hagar and Ishmael are mocking the promised child, meaning, you know what? He's not going to get the blessings we are because, Ishmael, you're the firstborn. So Sarah goes to Abraham and says, Abraham, you need to get rid of them because if they don't leave, and it upset him. Scripture said that the matter upset him because he said, but Ishmael's my son also. But Sarah knew. The first child gets the blessings. And she knew that Isaac was God's first promise to Abraham. Ishmael was something he created in the flesh. So I'll plug this in right here and I won't charge anything. If I've got any single women or single men in here, don't create an Ishmael. Wait for Isaac. All right? Y'all hear me? We can get connected in the flesh and work up an emotion and a relationship in our flesh. We don't want that. We want to wait for Isaac. So somebody needs to tell yourself, I'm waiting for Isaac, okay? Okay, but let's go to Genesis 21:19 because now what's happened, so Abraham causes them, they have to leave. They have to leave, all right? And now here's Hagar and Ishmael. They're out in this wilderness. In verse 8, it says the child grew. He was weaned, so all this story goes on. And now they are out in the desert, okay? And guess where it's at? Y'all ain't gonna believe this, but look at verse 14 at the bottom. They wandered in the wilderness of where? Beersheba. You see how amazing God is. Now, not only Wednesday did I tell you about there's a well, and it's in Beersheba, but now there's a wilderness also. And it just happens to be where Hagar and Ishmael are, and all the water's gone. And she's just put her son over here, and she turns her back because she said, I cannot bear to watch his death. And sorry I didn't send you scriptures ahead of time, but I never know what the Holy Spirit is going to speak, Kat. She said, do you have any scriptures? You know, we can post. I will tell you them ahead of time, but I couldn't because, again, I don't know till I get here what he's going to speak and teach. And so here's Hagar, and she's at this wilderness of Beersheba, and she is letting go of her son. She's going to let her son die. She knows I can't bear to watch him, so I won't watch. And while she's facing this direction, the son is over here. All of a sudden, we get to verse 19, and what happens? God opened her eyes. Somebody say, God opened my eyes. I'm serious, because look at this. He opened her eyes. Were they not open? No, because she had shut them because of grief and what the enemy says. And he's just going to die. You're never going to have a son. He's never be the nation God called him to be. And so just go ahead and let go of God's promise. Turn your back on God's promise and just let it die. And someone has done this in here, or I wouldn't be speaking this. Again, I'm looking at threes this morning. And I'm like, okay, a third of you have done this. Something, maybe it was a dream, maybe it was a promise, maybe it was something in God's word that you was believing for your family. I'll go to far as even say for your son. And now he's here, he's living this lifestyle, so you just say, okay, he's dying, but I can't bear to watch it. So full of grief, her eyes shut with sorrow, God had to open her eyes, and the minute he opens her eyes, what does she see? She sees a well, and it sustained them through the wilderness. So God is opening your eyes. You will see the well because you got to see it, because some of you have got to help the pastor get the lid off so the water that comes out, Kat can pour out and splash on all y'all. You ready for that? Okay, let's go to the second story that he took me to. And the second story, this might go with you saying, well, it does. Oh, Holy Spirit, you never cease to amaze me. Listen, y'all ain't going to believe this. I didn't even catch it till now. Let's go to Genesis chapter 24. Now it's time for Isaac to find a bride. So Abraham sends out his servants, and he says, hey, you got to go fetch this wife for Isaac. It's time for him to get married. Rebecca, anybody Rebecca in here? Anybody named Rebecca? Listen, Rebecca waited. She, thank God Rebecca didn't create an Ishmael. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are amazing. Look at this story, a bride for Isaac. So verse chapter 24 of Genesis, Abraham was old. He was well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham and all he did. But now he's going on with this covenant with Abraham, and he says it's time for Isaac to get a wife. And so we go to verse 40, and Abraham sends out his servants, and he said, the Lord will go before you and all of this, and you know, you're going to find a wife for Isaac. And so guess where he found her at? The well. I know y'all call it the sanctuary, Blue Mountains, but inside that sanctuary, there's going to be the biggest well Australia's ever seen. I'm telling you, I'm speaking this. I don't come with this stuff. You know, I don't think, okay, what did I tell the Chinese church? Okay, I'm going to tell them. No. Y'all, that was there Wednesday night. I was just in this place of worship, and I'm looking around. I see all you on horses, and I'm like, why am I seeing horses? And then I turn my face so I'm not looking at nobody. And there on that wall was this big horse in Jasmine's beautiful home. And I'm like, okay, I hear you. And then I come back and tell them, y'all are light horsemen, and you're taking Beersheba. You took it in the natural. Now it's time to take it in the spirit. And so now look where Rebecca is found, at a well. You see it? You see, you can read the whole story. I'm not going to read you the whole story, but you can read that whole story. And here's what was key. Here's what was key. This was very key. Let's look at verse, let me see. I didn't have this prepared, so, hold on just a moment. And so Rebecca comes, and the Isaac's servant is at the well in verse 44. Okay? So let's go back up to 42. And this day I came to the well, and you said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if you will prosper the way in which I shall go. Behold, this is Abraham's servant, I'm going to stand by the well of water. And it shall come to pass that when the virgin comes out to draw water, I will say to her, please give me a little water from your pitcher to drink. And she says to me, drink, and I'm going to also give water to your camels. Okay, to the congregation of sanctuary. You better be ready, and you better be positioned, because they're going to come, and they're going to need some water. And you better offer it to them. You know, Jesus said that if you believe in me, and my words by, out of your river will flow rivers of living water. We were in Singapore, and there at the even the airport where they have that beautiful water well, the Holy Spirit began to talk to me even then. And I didn't even bring it together till right now that he showed me that waterfall. I started seeing this well and all of this water springing up. And now I'm like, where is that? And he's saying right now, it's here. It's in his sanctuary that's hidden in these mountains. But there's this spring of water, and it's each one of you out of your innermost being. I hope y'all are getting excited and y'all are saying, I'm taking that. Because if you don't take it, you're not going to receive it. But look, here was Rebecca positioned. And when Isaac's servants come, see, that's another thing. If you're where God wants you to be, you don't have to go search for that husband or that promise. No, it will come to you, okay? So stay positioned, and I'm saying to y'all, stay positioned in this church through the good times, through the bad times, through the gross, through the narrows, because God's going to do something. I don't know. It's big. It is big. I think it's like that Ephesians 3:20, that I'm going to do exceedingly abundantly what anybody can imagine. I'm not trying to lift them up or try to say, oh, this is your. No, I'm telling you something, because we go from nation to nation. We've been in some dead places, but I'm telling you, something is stirring deep within this church. And it's that well of Beersheba. And you all can claim it because you fought the battle for Israel and won their Beersheba. God's going to even do more for you. All right, so who's ready to meet Isaac at the well? Come on. Okay, now this is my favorite well story. And he took me in, and I love this well story because it's the longest conversation that is recorded from Jesus, and it's with a woman. And he acknowledged women of faith in here this morning. That was the first evangelist ever, because when Jesus spoke to her and told her, this was before the disciples had filled with the Spirit. This is the woman. This is before the cross. But Jesus meets a woman at the well that is thirsty, and she becomes the first evangelist. She wins her whole city for Jesus. And she met Jesus at the well. I'm telling you, every time you gather at his sanctuary, this is the well where you're going to meet Jesus. And he's here. And anything you need freedom from, as we were singing and releasing that spirit of freedom, I hope y'all grabbed it. Because somebody in here, you might have an addictive behavior. You might have unforgiveness. Sometimes we name sins of the flesh and we forget the sins of the heart, like unforgiveness, bitterness, hate, all these things that stir and grow in our heart. But the Spirit of the Lord is there as freedom. So in closing and getting ready for the communion, let's go to John chapter 4. Okay? John chapter 4, we're going to see the story beginning at verse 1. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus had baptized more than John, you know, they start all this stuff and they go on and this is going on. And then he comes to Jacob's well. Jesus, therefore, being worn from weary from his journey, sat down by the well. See, Jesus even got weary. That was his human flesh of him. He got weary. So he said, can we learn a lesson from Jesus? When we get weary, stop. Sometimes God has to make us lay in green pastures. I say, please never make me lay in those green pastures. Let me willingly lay in the green pastures. But we get to, as I say in my Path of Life book, a bad word. I say a four-letter word. You know what it is? Busy. B-U-S-Y. You know what that word, the acronym is? Being under Satan's yoke. Come unto me, all you who weary and are heavy laden. Take my yoke. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus got weary, so he sat by the well. If Jesus needs to sit by the well and drink, we all in this room need to sit by the well and drink. Amen? Because let's finish reading the story. So Jesus sets down at this well. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water. That was the woman's job. She was the one that went out every day to get water. It wasn't just a bottle of water. She carried those heavy loads up on her to take back to her family. We are blessed because we can lift up a faucet and water will flow. They had to dig for their water, okay? And so he's there and she's there. And Jesus says to her in verse 7, give me a drink. For the disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, see, she said that with an attitude. Y'all, I know I didn't idolize, but I'm telling you, you hear the rhyme? How is it that you, being a Jew, asked from a Samaria woman? Okay, first of all, she calls him you. Secondly, she calls him a Jew. You hear this? Sometimes we approach him like that. You say you don't, but you do. That's why Paul says you better cast down every argument and vain imagination. Because our flesh is in constant thing. Jesus says something, or his word says something, or we hear it. We're like, talk to the hand, right? So she says, talk to the hand. How's it that you, being a Jew, asked a drink from me? For Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. She didn't add this, but you know, they were called dogs back then. So she knew, why are you even talking to me? I'm a Samaritan. So look at this. Verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who asked you to give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. So now she's come out of the attitude a little. She's starting to listen. And then she's starting to think. So the woman said to him, sir, thank you. She went from you, Jew, to at least she's given him, sir. So, sir, you have nothing to draw with. She's still in the natural, though, right? She's like, okay, he's going to give me water. Where is this thing to draw water? So now she's being at least polite by calling him sir. But, sir, you don't have anything to draw water with. And that well is deep, like the well I've seen that y'all getting into. Where then do you get this living water? So now she, you know, probably us women, we're already carrying 5 bags of groceries, a diaper bag, a baby on her hip, and a purse, and we're unlocking doors and going. But she's got all this load, and then she thinks, well, if it's living water, maybe if I get that, I won't have to come up here every day, and it'll be, you know, magical. Like, it'll last a really, really long time. And so she says, so where do you get this living water from? And then he answered and said to her in verse 12. No, hold on. She's still in verse 12. So after she says, where do you get this? She said, are you greater than Jacob that gave us this well and drank from it himself as well as his sons and livestock? And Jesus answered her and said, whoever drinks of this water is going to thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water I give him will never thirst. Because the water I give him will become inside of him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. So now she's telling him about, I mean, she probably is starting to think, oh, he's a salesman. You know, they came through Samaria last week and they're trying to give us this bottle of water. And we know it's not real. It's been dug out of a creek somewhere, right? That's what they told us before going to China. Don't drink the water. Buy your own and make sure the lid's on it. You don't know what you're going to drink, right? And so anyway, I love China. God bless China. God keep China. But where are some things we had to learn from streets, you know, and what they do on the streets, okay? But we love China. Thank you, Jesus, for sending us to China. And we have China here with us this morning, our precious Lydia that's here from China. Thank you, Jesus. And so she's probably thinking, though, okay, I'm going to I definitely am going to buy this water from this sir. I want this water because then I won't have to come here every day. This water is everlasting. I mean, as soon as I drink it, it's going to come back in the bottle. I definitely want this. So she has sold him, she thinks, okay? And so now this springing up, and the woman said, okay, verse 15, give me this water so I'll never thirst, and I won't ever have to come here to draw again. Like, that sounds like a good deal, right? You want to buy a car that the gas, you only put it in once, and you never have to put it in again, right? And so she said, okay, you sold me. I'm buying it. Tell me how to get it. And here's the shift. Jesus said to her in verse 16, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband. For you have five husbands, and the one you're with now is not your husband. And that you spoke truly. Verse 19, the woman said to him, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. So it went from you, Jew, and an attitude, why are you even talking to me, to sir, to I can get this water from you. Now when he starts telling her of her past, and hear me, he was not condemning her. Excuse, and I apologize for all the pastors in the States that when I was a little girl would say, woman, you've had five husbands. See, Jesus told that woman her past. No, he offered her water knowing her past. See, you come to Jesus like you are, and he's going to give you what you need, right? And so he was saying, you know, I love you. I'm going to give you this, and I know well about your past, but it was not of condemnation. Now she goes from realizing this is a prophet. See, sometimes things that come on our daily path that we just put hands up to, and then, yeah, we'll kind of receive. Then we got to realize, wait a minute, the prophet is speaking, and I need to listen what he speaks while at this well, okay? And so now he goes on, and the woman, after she says, I perceive you're a prophet, he tells her, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews, but now she goes back to calling the Jews and Jerusalem, say, that's the place you ought to worship. And verse 21, Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming where you're neither going to worship on this mountain or Jerusalem, but you, God's seeking a people, and you go on, and we know this, where God's seeking those who are worshipers, true worshipers, verse 23, who will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. God is spirit, verse 24, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And the woman said, I know the Messiah. See, she still don't recognize the Messiah. Sometimes we hear the prophet, but we don't realize it's Jesus speaking to us. She said, I know the Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he will tell us all things. And verse 26, Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And that woman, you read the on, she goes on, the harvest is ready. Don't say it's coming. No, the harvest is now. I want the brothers who or sisters, whoever's going to do, get the communion ready. Tara, I'm going to ask you to join me. And everybody, put your seatbelt on, right? Get turbulent spiritually in here right now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Listen, if the musicians or do you guys know, can you sing that Ain't No Gray? You know it enough to sing it? We could play it maybe. If not, that's it. You can just do it. And Terry will play the drums as you sing. I'll help you sing. I'm not a singer, but I love to sing. That's it. Now, see, again, back when I was a little girl, back in the 60s, 1900, my Natasha's here. She knows I'm 85. She'll bear witness to it. Natasha, right? Dominique and Natasha. That's right. They believed me when I told them I was 85. I raised it to 105 since last year that I came to Sydney. I'm now 105. At least people say, oh, honey, you can't be 105. When I said I was 85, Natasha said, really? She looks pretty good to be 85. Oh, Jesus. And Terry says, I'm married to a grandma. Okay, So here's what's going to happen. That's the message. Y'all received that? Did you receive that teaching? To God be the glory. Can some of you see? You don't have to raise your hand to say who is Hagar, and you put that promise over here and you've turned your back because you didn't see God's provision. But today he's going to open your eyes and you're going to see the well. The other ones were being faithful, being obedient, waiting for that promise, and he came right into your path. The other ones doing your daily work and you're at this well and you're thinking, I'm going to get natural water. But God said, no, you're coming more for natural water today. You're going to get some spiritual water, okay? And so we applied that. But now we're going to go what made it all possible. Because the woman said, I know we've been taught that the Jewish Messiah is coming. But he's here now. And see, Jesus that night, before he was betrayed, was at that table. And I love it because he was Jewish, right? Yeshua HaMashiach was his Jewish name. And he's there at the disciple with the disciples for the Last Supper. You know, Leonardo or whoever it was to paint it, that Last Supper painting. And they're all there around that table. What's so amazing, if you really study and know Jewish history, that was the very day that the Jewish people were out having their Passover meal, celebrating what God had done through Moses. They still celebrate it to this day. And so Jesus was celebrating with them. And he was trying to tell them, look, I'm the Lamb. The other ones on Tuesday when Jesus was going through and Hosanna, Hosanna, and he's on that donkey, that's when the Jewish families were in picking out the lamb that they were going to take to their home and that week they were going to slay to remember the blood that was put over the doorpost. And Jesus is at that table and he said, tonight I'll be slain. And when you put my blood over the doorpost of your life, it will stop every death spirit that ever tries to harass you because he will have the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And so that night, they don't understand. It's going to be my body that you eat. It's going to be my blood that you drink. And then he told them, as often as you do it, remember me. And again, that's not, okay, I'm going to think. No. That means I'm going to activate what happened 2,000 years ago on the cross. And remember, the stripes were for your healing. He echoed to say Isaiah's words. Isaiah said he would be wounded. He would be bruised. He would be crushed. And with the stripes, he would be healed. Isaiah prophesied this before thieves were ever martyred on a tree. And yet 1,000 years later now, they hang criminals, and it would be Jesus, and he would say, I was wounded for your transgressions. You know what transgressions are? Sins that you've committed. I was bruised. You know the difference between an outward wound and cut and a bruise? A bruise means something inward has happened, and it results in that bruise. You know what that takes care of? Every generational curse that's ever, iniquitous blood pattern that's ever been in your bloodline. So see, you don't have to say, well, daddy was an alcoholic, so I'm going to be an alcoholic. Mama and grandma all had cancer, and grandma died, and now it's 1997, and I get diagnosed with that cancer. I didn't accept cancer. I wasn't in denial of it. I didn't walk around, I don't have cancer. No, but I said, cancer, you will come out of me. You will not take my life. I'll take your life. And guess what? In 1997, I took the life of cancer, and I've been free since that day, 22 years. By his stripes, we were healed. The woman said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, because on the hem of that garment, that tallit had the word of God that was so tightly woven. And she knew if I could get a hold of the word. But yet Jesus was the word made flesh and dwelt among us. I don't have to take of Jesus' garment. I can eat his body. And I can be healed in Jesus' name. And the blood, it cleanses me of all sin. And it don't stop there. In the season of my life, in my own personal wilderness that the Spirit drove me into to prepare me and mold us for the nations 30 years ago. In that season, the battle, the spirit of fear that was assigned to me to take my mind. I mean, literally, the Holy Spirit showed me it one day and said, he told me his name. Y'all, hold on. He told me its name. He said, it's been sent to you to take your mind. because I've called you to nations. You will win cities and nations for me. But the enemy's going to put you through a warfare so that you can learn how to wield your weapons, so that you can become a warrior rather than a fearless captive. And in that season, I remember sometimes the battle was so intense. And one day, for 3 days, I had a vision. And all I could see was the blood. And Pastor Adam back here was praying and praying like a breaking forth, like a dam just bursting forth with the breakthrough of God. And all of a sudden, I'm recalling that day and those days that the battle was so intense, I thought I would lose my mind until I learned I needed to lose my mind to have the mind of Christ. My stinking thinking was holding me captive. It was holding me a prisoner to fear. And in the midst of that fear, I began with shaking bodies and shaking mind, trembling inside. I began to say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and foes, come up against me, they're going to stumble and fall. Though a host encamp against me, I will not fear. Though war rises up against me, in this will I be confident. One thing, and he quoted it, one thing and one thing only have I desired, to dwell in the house of God, to gaze upon his beauty and to inquire within. And when you begin to gaze upon his beauty and you begin to inquire of his way, I'm telling you, you will be free. And David ends that chapter by saying in Psalm 27, I would have fainted. I wouldn't have just fainted. I'm going to tell you, I would have died. I would have been buried a long time ago had not I believed to see the goodness of the Lord, not in the sweet by and by, but in the land of the living. How many is ready to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? Can we stand? Can we stand up? Listen, Terry, you get on the drum, stir up here. We're gonna make this happen. But again, back in the old days when I was born, at the Pentecostal churches, they'd get really excited. Women had their hair up. Y'all can watch a movie maybe of that. And see, we got Kanye West right now that's bringing it all back around to America. But Kanye West is out there, and he's calling it Sunday worship. And man, they're out there. They're on airplanes. They're in parks, wherever. And they're just stirring up a move of God. And we're seeing the worship of God in these praises. And they're pulling old songs. Bethel, Molly Skaggs, Ricky Skaggs' daughter, has pulled this song back up. But back in the day, it was, well, there ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Ain't no grave. And all the saints of old would start getting into that, and they'd start shouting, and you'd watch their heads bobbing back and forth. And man, bobby pins would start flying and hitting you. Little kids, we'd be hiding. I loved it because you have all the children up here worshiping like Jesus said, let them come. But we had to hide under seats or we'd be stepped on. You know what I'm saying? Those old women, you know, stepping and bouncing all around. But then they were talking and thinking, one day we're going to go to heaven. And ain't no grave going to hold us down, because the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling in me, and I'm resurrecting too. And it was all about out there when they're buried, and ain't no grave going to hold them down. But when Molly brought this back last year, I began to see by the spirit that there were graves. And one time we were in our state, Ohio, and we were driving to minister at a church. And literally on the drive, we passed 3 cemeteries. So I said, I hear you, Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm going in that church, and we're getting people out of the grave. Okay? So here's what I seen. I seen that sometimes, probably every day, the enemy, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Okay? Not exalting him, but exposing him. Satan will seek to bury you. He knows he can't kill you because you belong to Jesus. But he can take your mind. He can get you buried in oppression and depression and fear and sickness. He wants to bury you. But Isaiah 60 said, it's time to arise and shine. The glory's come upon us. So I don't know what grave is seeking to bury you this morning. Could be mentally, could be physically, could be spiritually. But as they pass out, no, we're going to come up and get it, right? That's right. Yep. You're going to come up here, and as an act of faith, you're going to take Jesus' body, you're going to take his blood, and we are going to come out of the graves this morning. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We're all seeing that grave, and we're saying, I'm walking out of it. Father, I thank you that Hagar, When you opened her eyes, she walked out of the grave, not just for herself, but for her son. I thank you that Rebecca, being obedient and offering water, she walked out of a grave of selfishness or self-centeredness or loneliness, God. I thank you that the woman walked out of her past, walked out of the guilt and the shame to come to that well that day and find living water. Jesus, I thank you that right now, as we take these moments together at your table, to take of your body so we can be healed, to take of your blood so that we can be cleansed, that we can be set free, that we can be charged with the Great Commission, that we can go into all the world. Jesus, right now, we thank you that you was wounded for our transgressions. Jesus, forgive us. Forgive us of our sins. You was bruised for iniquity. The sins of our fathers, the things that have been in our bloodline, you can do right now. And someone's getting a spiritual blood transfusion. All those sins of your fathers and grandfathers and even your own life, the blood of Jesus cleanses. The blood of Jesus covers. By the stripes, Jesus, like that blood that I seen that morning, because I'm speaking to an anxiety society in an age of outrage. I'm speaking where our minds are so plagued. But that day of that vision of the blood of Jesus, it wasn't just as painters had betrayed, a little blood trickling down his brow. But those thorns were so deeply embedded into his brow. And he said, the chastisement for you to have peace was upon me. See those thorns deeply piercing his brow, and seeing that blood run down, and know that that blood, when applied in faith over the door of your mind, will stop the anxiety. It will stop the fear. It will stop the panic, because Jesus said, my peace I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in me. Believe in my Father. I go to prepare a place for you. And until that day, you can live in this life. You can walk through, as Pastor began with Isaiah 43, you go through the rivers. You go through the fires. They don't overtake you. Jesus, fear not. I hear to someone, Isaiah 41:10 this morning, fear thou not. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I hold you by my hand. Fear not. Fear not. I did not to this society. I bind and I cast out and I send to hell the spirit of fear. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Oh, the blood of Jesus, that by his stripes we would be healed. Jesus said, take, eat of my body. If you've not already, please take your bread and receive. Again, take his body and be healed in Jesus' name. And that same night he took the cup and said, this cup is the new covenant. Drink, receive his blood, receive his blood.